Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop addresses one of the enemy's most destructive weapons, fear. The Archbishop reminds believers that the best way to overcome fear is preparation. Filling your heart with scripture ahead of time equips us for when fear strikes. This sermon will strengthen your prayer life, build your faith, and release you into a new dimension of confidence, boldness, and victory. Know today that this is God's word of empowerment for you. Be inspired as you listen.
We began a journey on dealing with fear, confronting fear, victory over fear, and it's critical that we continue on this subject because fear is one of the most deadly weapons the adversary uses to incapacitate God's children, to demobilize our faith that overcometh the world, to reduce creativity and spirituality to inactivity. And we owe it to ourselves and God and our families and loved ones not to ignore this weapon called fear. And may I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that fear is not something. Fear is someone. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is not circumstances. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a person. And we need to arm ourselves in the word and in scripture before fear comes. Because when fear comes, it comes in a very subtle and sometimes in a very aggressive way. And whether you'll be able to stand, resist fear, dismiss fear, or have authority over fear is what you do with scripture before fear comes. But as long as you live, one way or the other, every now and then, fear will knock at your door. It will visit you. And you must be prepared before it comes. And when you are prepared before fear comes, when it knocks at your door, you can announce to fear, wrong address. Go somewhere else. When DHL package is delivered to your house, and they ask for a name, and said, we have a parcel for so-so and so, Osimasi, you tell them there's nobody here with this name. Please go to another place. Check the community. Look at other places. It's wrong address. Tell somebody wrong address. But whether you can identify even fear when it comes or not, all has to do with what you do with the word before it comes. And so we want to look at our anchor scriptures. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7.
For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
It's important that you establish this argument as long as you live. You must establish this argument. And truth. That fear is not of God and does not come from God, but it comes from the devil. You have to establish it. So you don't entertain fear. You don't coexist with fear. It's an enemy. Fear is an assassin. It'll kill you. Fear is a poison. Just a little bit of fear in a drink will kill you. So it's not something you entertain at all. You don't coexist with fear. It's an enemy. It's an assassin. And every one of you hearing me is dealing with fear of something or the other. And the reason why you must confront it is because if you don't deal with it, what you are afraid of will come on you. Say in the name of Jesus, I declare on authority of Scripture that I am free of fear. Say freedom. Say freedom. Say freedom of fear. In the name of Jesus. Job 3:25.
For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me.
For 9 months, Job was mentally and emotionally tortured. So fear will torture you. Mental torture, emotional torture, spiritual torture. That is what fear does. For the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear binds. Fear will bind you. It comes to bind and it comes to oppress. It will oppress you. It holds you at ransom. Fear has torment. It will torment you. Torture, harass you. And fear will open the door for legions to come in. And for 9 months, Job could not make sense of his adversity and his pain. His friends could not make sense of Job's adversity. And after his adversity ended, he came to the conclusion that the reason for the adversity was fear. And he said all along, he had fear of what happened to him. Fear has a voice. Fear will set you up. Fear will program you for what the enemy wants to happen to you to happen. Say in the name of Jesus. Oh, give me some energy. Say in the name of Jesus. I silence the voice of fear in my subconscious mind. I silence fear. Say, I silence fear. Say, I mute fear. I mute fear. Say, I shut the mouth of fear. In the name of Jesus. Whatever the fear is, you have to confront it. Because if you don't confront it, what you fear will come to you. When you confront it, you stand against it. You resist it, it flees. Say, spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, hear ye the word of the Lord. You are an enemy. You are an enemy. You are an adversary. Take leave of me. Say, I break loose from your grip and your stronghold. Say, I break loose from the yoke of the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Romans 8:15.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
So fear is a bondage. It will bind you. Say, I break the bondage of fear. Say, I break loose from the grip of the terrible, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 28:1.
The wicked flee, though no one pursues, for the righteous are as bold as a lion.
I'm putting together a book, a material, about the difference between a sinner and the wicked. There's a difference between the sinner and the wicked. The wicked are those who have turned their back on God and literally they have rejected the mercy of God. They don't want the mercy of God. And they have willingly yielded and submitted themselves to become vehicles, weapons, and instruments in the hands of the enemy to afflict others, and to become carriers by which and through which Satan executes his wickedness against humanity. Such must not go unpunished. We pray for sinners to come to repentance. We pray for our enemies. But hear me, when you talk about the wicked, you are not dealing with somebody who hates you and don't like you. No, 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 no. The wicked are those who are the embodiment of Satan on earth. Just like Jesus was the embodiment of his Father. Jesus was the express image of the Father. And he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So the wicked, if you want to see the wicked, see. If you want to see Satan, see a wicked person. Whenever you see the wicked, you have seen Satan. And for such, they don't deserve mercy. Because the Bible says, "He who observes lying vanities forfeits their own mercies." So the wicked has forfeited mercy because they turn against God and reject the mercy of God and any good thing. Dolaka salam. Salanda kusind. Kidu kasalin. Mehayu. Mehayu. Awasiya akasala. Tiko sulu mukapasala. Yes, sir. Let them flee. Let the wicked flee. But let the righteous be bold as lions. Want to look at some of the fears that confront us that we deal with on a daily basis. One of the fear is the fear of premature death. It's the fear of dying before your time. It's one thing that confronts every human being. And when fear comes, that is not the time to panic. And that is not the time to pray out of fear. You don't pray out of fear. You pray out of faith. Because the Bible said, anything done without faith is sin. Whenever you pray out of fear, you give the enemy an advantage and the upper hand. When fear knocks at your door, you must have enough word in you to respond. And you respond by scripture. You don't respond by feelings, emotion, by logic, by experience, or by philosophy. The devil is not the respecter of feelings, logic, or philosophy. He's the respecter of "it is written." Amen. So one of the first scripture you must memorize and you must rehearse and you must know and master is Hebrews. It's the book of Hebrews. You got to know this scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15.
"For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil,
deliver them
who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage."
You see, bondage, the fear of premature death will bring you under bondage, will cause you to go places seeking for help and protection in places you shouldn't go. I know so many people in government, in authority, all over the world, who go places to seek for protection and power because of the fear of premature death. Like what happened in this country on the 6th of August, will compel a lot of people to seek all kinds of protection, go to all kinds of places to seek protection from men who will also die and from men who are also afraid of death. How can a man who will die, who is afraid of, how can he protect you? It's foolishness. But out of fear, people are held in bondage. And they'll go all kinds of places. They'll tell them, bring this and sacrifice this and do this to you and do this. And they submit because they're afraid. They're afraid that if they don't go, they'll die. They'll die prematurely. So fear grips them. There are people who go to church. There are some of you here. You are in church. You are seated. You are hearing me. But after service, you go some places. Some people from the village have called you, come here, oh, come here. Let's do something for you. Let's fortify you. So you even go and they put you in hot water and they bathe you, and they cook you. Yeah. Some people go and sit in hot water. Some people go to the cemetery at 2, 3 a.m. Yeah. And they bathe them with some stinking, smelling leaves and water to fortify them at the cemetery. And they invoke the spirit of the dead. How can the dead protect the living? If the dead can protect the living, why did they die? And the reason why people do all this is because they go to church, but they don't know the scriptures. They don't know the scriptures. Bishop Obed, I will tell you, we're dealing with the situation the other day, and somebody said he was dealing with the devil, and he said, I call upon the sword of the archbishop, and I said, you are sick. Where is it written in the Bible, the sword of the archbishop? Where is it in the Bible? The Bible talks about the sword of the spirit, not the sword of the archbishop. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. When the enemy comes, you don't talk about the sword of the archbishop. You must be able to invoke the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Somebody said, by the altar of my papa, the archbishop. What kind of altar? You think the devil is afraid of altars? You have to know what to do when the enemy comes. Yeah. Come with me to Matthew 22:29. Matthew 22:29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
So, hear me. When you know the scriptures, you have the power of God. Ignorant of the scriptures denies you of the power of God. Romans 1:16. Amen. Look at it.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first.
The gospel or the scriptures gives you access to power. Somebody shout the word, say power. Oh, it's low energy. Say power. Makatu lakasala. Salamanda kusin wahasilia. Hey! You err because you don't know the scriptures. You transgress because you don't know the scriptures. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Let logic dwell in you in all richly.
No, sir.
Let philosophy dwell in you all richly.
No, sir.
Let experience.
No, sir.
Let the advice of men.
Oh, sir.
Let the counsel of the elders.
Oh, sir.
Let what? The word of God. Do what?
Well.
In all
wisdom.
Why? Because a day will come. When fear, when the spirit of destruction knocks at your door, you must have enough word in you to speak back. Because in the beginning was the word. John 1:1. And two. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And all things was created or made by the word. And there was nothing made or created that was made or created without the word. Mark 16:20.
And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following.
Confirming logic.
No, sir.
Confirming philosophy. Confirming the arguments of men. Confirming the elders and the advice of the elders of your village and your town. Confirming what?
The word.
Confirming what?
The word.
So God will confirm his word. Not your wisdom. Not my wisdom. Not your word. Not my word. But his word. Jeremiah 1:12. Jeremiah 1:12.
Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word.
I will hasten your word.
No, sir.
Your word. Whose word? I will hasten
my word.
To what?
Perform it.
Hear me. He will what? Hasten. What does that mean? He said, I will accelerate my word. Say divine acceleration, acceleration. Do this, do this. Say acceleration, acceleration. Yeah. I will accelerate my word to perform it. Amen. Isaiah 55, I think 11. Look at Isaiah 55, 11.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my
mouth. Goeth forth out of
my mouth.
Out of
my mouth.
Out of my head.
No, sir.
Out of my head.
No, sir.
But where?
My mouth.
Where?
My mouth.
So faith and the word is released from your mouth. Your mouth is not for gossiping. Your mouth is not for just anything. Your mouth is a weapon and a vehicle that carries and executes the word. Out of my
mouth.
Out of my
mouth.
So whenever the word of God goes out of your mouth, it must deliver. Say it must work. Say it works. Go ahead.
It shall not return unto me void.
Yes, sir.
But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Amen. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Out of thy head?
No, sir.
Out of your head?
No, sir.
Out of where?
Your mouth.
Out of where?
Your mouth.
So your mouth is a weapon and a vehicle to do what? Speak the word. Go ahead.
But thou shalt meditate.
Thou shalt what?
Meditate.
Thou shalt what?
Meditate.
Meditation is not closing your eyes and leave your mind blank. It's dangerous. Demons will enter when you leave your mind blank. So what is meditation? From scripture perspective, meditation means to matter. To matter means to rehearse the word. So how do you rehearse the word? You keep saying what is written. Back to back to back to back. Over and over and over and over again. Till your spirit accepts it. Look at Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Romans chapter 10 verse 17.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So faith cometh by
hearing
and
hearing.
So you see, it's not just by hearing. It's by hearing and hearing. Back to back to back. Hearing by man's opinion. Hearing by arguments of men. Hearing by the counsel of the elders. But hearing by
the word of God.
Kadaluku salaka masala. Hey! We silence the arguments of the elders. Shala kasun lay to kasalin mahadula kisalun wahanda kusum mayada kusuli. Let their voices be discredited. Let their wisdom be discredited. Silence in the name of Jesus. Put your hands and say silence, silence, silence. Silence. Kadabusala. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know, one day, Elijah the Tishbite, he came on the scene and he made a bold declaration. And he said, we are tired of being tossed between two opinions. If God be God, let him be God. If God be God, let's serve God. And if God is not who the word said that he is, then let's forget it. And he said, let the God that answered by fire be God. We are torn between two opinions for too long. People come to church, read the Bible, pray and fast, and still go consulting the enemy. Still consult the powers of the dark kingdom. The three Hebrew young men they had the audacity and the courage to face the king and said, we will not compromise. And you know why you must not compromise as a Christian? Because whatever you compromise to get, you will eventually lose it. It's just a matter of time to catch up with you. And so many compromise out of fear and ignorance of scripture. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 verse 89. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If you believe it, say yes. Come on, say yes. Say yes. Mutala kasala madusa. Mahandu kamadun. We sukum kisan. Ayala makusindi kapalusala. In the name of Jesus. The three Hebrew young men said, we know that our God is able to deliver and he will. And if by any means he decided not to, we will not bow. It means we will not compromise. We will stand for the convictions we have of God and his word. He cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. We either believe or we don't believe. There is no middle ground. Hear me. Hear me. To every one of you who call yourself a believer, you either believe scripture or you don't believe it. There's no middle ground. You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Tulakus, deli takuan, yandu kahasan, tayala makasulakisala. Somebody said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. You got it all wrong. You don't understand the protest, the pretext, nor the context of the text. Masus, Masula Kasia. And therefore, they give attention to other gods, serve strange gods and oracles, perform all kinds of rituals. And Sunday morning sit in the church and read your Bible. Who do you think you are fooling? Who do you think you are fooling? You either believe or you don't believe. If you believe, then stand your ground and let God prove himself. If he cannot prove himself, then there is no need to serve him. Say yes. Moyaki sola. Ayala makusun kitalakasa. Let's see how Jesus overcame the devil. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. Look at how Jesus.
And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone.
Jesus argued with the devil.
No, sir.
He was silenced.
No, sir.
Hear me. Silence when you are accused is an admission of guilt. Silence when you are accused is ceding your authority and your right to an adversary. Tell somebody, you can't be silenced anymore. You can't. You cannot be silent. You have to say something. And you don't just say anything. You don't say your feelings. You don't speak your circumstances. You don't speak your fear. You must have enough word in you to say, it is written. Few days ago, I was resting. And then I heard a word. I heard a scripture. In my spirit. And I heard the Holy Spirit saying, in my spirit, he redeemed my life from destruction. He redeemed my life from destruction. I didn't understand. Few hours after, in deep sleep, I saw this entity, a princess from the kingdom of the underworld, very equipped, came at me with violence. And I looked at her. And I said, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, I am the Redeemer of the Lord. I am the Redeemer of the Lord. You have no legal grounds whatsoever. Taluka salant, wahasulu kitaluka sa. And he disappeared. Then the scriptures came to me, and I remembered why the Holy Spirit was giving me that scripture. So immediately I referred to Psalm 103. That is it there. He redeemed my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and with tender. And I say, I declare my redemption. I declare my redemption, my deliverance, and my release. Could I lock a son from the destroyer, from the oppressor, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, I cannot be destroyed. I cannot be destroyed by the destroyer. I am the redeemer of the Lord, and I say so. Psalm 107, verse 2. Look at it. Let the redeemed
of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed
of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord be quiet.
No, sir.
Silent.
No, sir.
Say nothing.
No, sir.
But what?
Say so.
Who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb here? Is there any redeemer of the Lord here? Then open your mouth and say it. Say, I'm the redeemer of the Lord.
Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed
from the hand and the grip of the enemy. By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the
Lamb. Give me Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11. You have to say it.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Say, I overcome. Say, I have overcome. And I continue to overcome.
By the blood of the Lamb.
And by the word of my testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Your word of your testimony is when you say it. So until you say it, even though you are redeemed, it doesn't work. Overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of? And what is the word of the testimony? The word of your testimony is when you say what is written. That is the word of your testimony. When you say what the scriptures says or declares about you. And until you say it, come with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 from verse 9. From verse 9 to 10.
But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord
Jesus. Confess with your head.
No, sir.
Confess with your head.
No, sir.
But your
mouth.
Your
mouth.
Your
mouth. The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Go ahead.
For with the heart man believeth.
For with the
heart
man
believeth unto righteousness.
Save with the heart I believe.
The heart I believe. Say,
believing is of the heart.
Believing is of the heart.
But confession is of the mouth. So look at it.
And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Confession is
unto salvation.
So you believe. Are you saved by believing? No. You are saved when you confess what you believe. Okay, let me do something. Today I'm going to switch. Because if I do it by Bishop James, you claim it. Bishop Obada, I come. And I'm going to reduce the amount. I'm going to reduce the amount. No, Bishop. This is 1,000 CDs. At least have a 1,000 CDs. If you trust me, I can pay. So, Bishop, 1,000 CDs. It's a check. It's a check of 1,000 CDs. What do you do for receiving a gift of 1,000 CDs from me? You thank me. Why do you thank me?
Because I have your check.
You have the check. And you believe the money is there. You believe I'm capable of giving you 1,000 CDs.
Yes, sir.
So what do you do?
I cash it.
No, before you cash,
you
thank me.
Yes.
Thanking is the belief. Thanking is the belief. Then after he believes, what do you do after you believe? You cash it.
Yes,
the cashing is the confession. Now, look at Mark. Look at Mark 11:23. Look at Mark 11:23. Look at it.
For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever thou that whosoever shall say unto
say,
this
mountain. Say, I am a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Is there a whosoever here? He said,
whosoever.
He didn't say prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, pastor, elder, deacon, deaconess. How long you've been in the faith? He said what?
Whosoever.
Sha. Ask somebody, what are you saying with your mouth? What are you saying with your mouth? Say, I'm a whosoever.
A whosoever.
Go ahead.
That say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
So look at it. One believe in the heart. Three, he saith. Three times, whosoever shall say, if he does not doubt in his heart, but believe that he will have whatsoever he saith, he shall have whatsoever he says. Three, say, one, believe. What is the belief? The belief is thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
New King James.
New King James.
Be anxious for nothing, but in anxious, everything.
See, anxiousness opens the door for fear to come in. When you are anxious, fear feeds on that. It will come in. Go ahead.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
With what?
Thanksgiving.
With what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving means you believe that God is capable of doing it. That's why I gave Bishop Oboda a 1,000 CD check and not $1 million, because Bishop James is, he's reminding me. And I said, Bishop, if you can pray for me to get $10 million, I'll give you $1 million. Yeah. I believe you're a man of God and you can pray. Yeah. So if you pray, I get 10 million. By the grace of God, I'll give you 1 million. But right now it can't happen. And I'm not confessing unbelievable. I'm just saying. Don't look at me without your look. Amen. Go ahead, Bishop.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
So thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude. It is also an attitude of faith. That God, I believe you are capable. He said, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So when you say thank you, I thank you that you are able, I thank you that you are capable, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it, I thank you, Lord, I thank you. You see, thanksgiving and praise is one of the most highest expression of faith. When you don't have it and you thank God in advance, he can't receive your thanksgiving and not deliver. As soon as you thank him, you've committed him. Yeah. Back to Luke chapter 4. Quickly. Verse 4, verse 5.
And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
So the devil has kingdoms. He has riches and glory. Go ahead.
And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them.
No, go back to verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Let's start with chapter 4, verse 4.
And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
You see, this word was written in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. So Jesus referred the devil to what was written in Deuteronomy. And those of you who believe that Old Testament is Old Testament, we should just preach and teach the New Testament, you are ignorant of Scripture. Because it is written, all Scripture, all, not some, Hebrew Scripture, New Testament Scripture, Pauline Revelation Scripture, or the Synoptic Gospel, all of them was written by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It is profitable. Then the Bible says, holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me, somebody? And Jesus referred the devil during the seasons of the synopsis gospel to what was written in the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it is Deuteronomy 6.
8 and verse 3.
Uh-huh, look at Deuteronomy.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Hear me. So you see, when Satan came, Jesus had already rehearsed the word. Before the choir sang, they come for rehearsals. And at rehearsals, they rehearse all the songs they sing to us. So when we hear them and we clap, it's a result of the rehearsal. They don't just come and stand and sing. They rehearse. So what am I saying? Meditation means rehearse before the tempter comes. Rehearse before the challenge comes. Because Jesus knew the scriptures. He rehearsed the word. So when the tempter came, what did he do? He referred the devil to what was written in what you call Old Testament. Deuteronomy 3:8. And said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil took notice. And look at verse 5.
And the devil taking him up into an high mountain,
you see,
showed unto him.
One thing you must know, the devil, he's very consistent though. He's very consistent, deliberate, and aggressive. And you must be double consistent. He's very consistent. He didn't leave him. He knew Jesus was right. He didn't leave him alone. He said, I'll keep pushing this guy. I'll push him till I break him. That's who the devil is. He don't quit. And you can't quit. Tell two people you've come too far to quit. Come too far to quit. Yeah. Now, I know many things have happened to everybody. But David said in Psalm 91, he said, 1,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 on my right hand. It will not come near me. Only with my eyes I'll see and behold the reward of the wicked. Tula, Kusa, Masin, Malaha Kasalun. I am not them and I'll never be them. And that is not my portion in the name of Jesus. Kadu Salah. Melutu Kun Silika Masala. Hey, Tuli Atala Kasa. Go ahead. Took him.
And taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
Verse 6.
And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it.
You see, so here is very clear that the enemy has power. He has power. He has power. He owns kingdoms and glories and riches. That's why you can compromise and not serve God, and the devil can make you rich at the expense of your eternity with Christ. Yeah. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So when the devil makes you rich, which he can, through compromise, he can make you rich. Yeah. I know people who go for all kinds of things. And they tell them, for 20 years you'll be rich. For 10 years you'll be rich. And after that, we'll come for you. Yeah, I know people like that. I've dealt with people like that. They become filthy rich. And when it's time for them to die, they start crying. And they run to the church for safety. I'm sorry, I can't pray for you. You've sold your soul. Tell somebody, my soul is not for sale. It's not for sale. You see, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds to it no sorrow. What is the sorrow? The sorrow here is, if you go to the devil, he can give you power. He can give you riches at the expense of your soul. And a day will come. A day will come. A day will come when it will be sad and sorrowful. He gives power. Faith. Glory. You don't believe it? Ask Whitney Houston then. Michael Jackson. And so many others, they became famous. Famous, huge, big, mega. For a period of time. And then a day came, and the enemy came and said, it's payday time. I gave you everything you wanted. I made you famous. Your soul is mine. And there are people who go to the enemy for power. Political power. Even there are people in the church, religious leaders, some of them compromise for all kinds of power. For fame. To have big following. Huge. Deep pockets. For a season. And a day will come when the enemy will knock at your door. And he will say, it's payday time. I made you famous, huge and big. Now your soul is mine. You can't say no to your master. That's why you young preachers must be careful when it comes to this thing called money. Be careful. Because the enemy can buy you. If the enemy sees that all you are interested in is money, he will buy you. He will give you money and silence you. If all you are interested in is fame, to become big and huge, he will give it to you. He will give you fame. He will give you glory and an empire. But a day will come, he will come for you. And everything will be shut down. I've seen great preachers, powerful, filling stadiums. With two or three private jets. And they were huge. And everybody was following them. And some of my members used to go there and go, Papa, he wants to see you. He wants to connect with you. He says you are his brother. And I say, I hear. I think you must go and say, no. Let me stay with the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. One can take away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? And what can take me whole? Follow this big guy, fill stadiums, private jets, carry money and go and give it to him. He won't give me some. I don't know. Sometimes people think I'm loaded. Fine, it's good. Fine, it's okay. No problem. I'm not going to say I'm not. If you think I'm loaded, I'm loaded. And you can say, Baba, the guy is in town. He just landed with his jet. He wants to just pass by your office to say hi to you. I said, no. I'll continue to use passenger planes. Once in a while I get private, I'll fly it, but just leave me here like that. Leave me here. My faith is built on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but only live on Jesus. No! Leave me here. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. Get back to the word quickly. My time is up. Let's get back to the word quickly. Matula kuzalika masala. Seliku fun tukun dahazulun. Yelimu kun salakasa. So when the fear of premature death comes, you don't respond in fear. I don't pray when I'm afraid. When fear of anything comes to me, I speak the scripture. I quote the scripture. And I override my feelings with the word. It doesn't matter what I feel or what my circumstances are. If I declare the word, God is under obligation to honor his word. Say, I hear you. So whenever the fear of death comes, Psalm 91 verse 16.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
You have to say this thing. You have to say it. Over and over again, back to back to back to back, until you believe it. If you don't say it, you don't believe it. And if you believe it, then say it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. If you believe it, say it. 2 Corinthians 4:13.
We have in the same spirit of faith.
Uh-huh.
According as it is written.
Yes, sir.
I believed, and therefore have I spoken.
Uh-huh.
We also believe, and therefore speak.
You know why you are not saying anything? It's because you don't know the scriptures. And two, you don't believe. Because if you know the word, and it's in you, and you believe, you will speak. Tell somebody, speak the word. Say, silence is ceding your authority and rise to the enemy. Say it. Number two scripture. Whenever the enemy attacks you, knocks at your door with the fear of premature death, Exodus 23, verse 25 to 26.
And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young.
No premature death.
Nor be barren
In
thy land.
Yes,
and
sir.
The number of thy days I will fulfill.
Say, Lord, I believe that the numbers of my days and years, thou shalt fulfill it, Lord. For my life is in your hands. My times and my seasons are in your hands. Amen. Give me John 10. Look at the verse that says, no one can pluck you out of my hands. For the Father that gave you to me is greater than all. Okay, why is he looking at this? Amen. Look at Job 5:26. Job 5:26.
Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age.
In a young age.
No, sir.
Prematurely. In a full.
The full
in
age.
In a full.
Full age.
I am not yet full age, oh. So stop looking at me that way. Those your thoughts will backfire. it will backfire. And don't tell me, how about if the word of God doesn't work? It will work. How about if it works? It will work. So whatever you are thinking, if there will be no if. Kadulasa. Say, I will outlive all those who devise my head. Say, I will outlast them all. Say, they will all go and I'll still be here. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. In a full world. Yes, sir. Give me Psalm 61, verse 6. Psalm 61, verse 6.
Uh-huh. Thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations.
Say, oh Lord. It is written. Thou shalt prolong my life and my years as many generations. Say, that is the word of God. And say, Lord, I believe. Say, Lord, I believe. Say, I believe God. That it shall be unto me according as it is written. You believe it? Then say it. You see, you can't say it. You see, you are quiet. You are afraid of saying it. But it won't happen till you say it. Say, I believe God. That it shall be unto me according as it is written. Come on, open your mouth. Say it. Sulaya etula kasun kifandu kusun wahalindu kusalia melitu kusalakasa. A lot of you are silenced because you have never taken time to study the word for yourself. You are following after preachers, following after prophets, following after apostles, following after mediums, psychics, familiar spirits, master spirits, mysticism, diviners, sorcerers, warlocks, talus, lekitun kasin, hey, take your hands off me, stand down, relinquish your powers, for Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Give me Job chapter 21 and verse 8, NLT.
They live to see their children grow up and settle down, and they enjoy their grandchildren.
Say, I will live to see all my children grow up, establish and settle down, and enjoy my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Say, I believe God, that it shall be unto me, according as it is written, for the scriptures cannot be broken. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. We have to go back to the basics because we have become so deep, that we have forgotten the basics. And that's why the enemy is fooling with all of us. Going back to the basics. Return to the basics. Go ahead. Verse 6. Of Luke, Jesus and Satan's temptation.
And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for they are delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine.
So Satan wants us to worship him. That is the whole thing. He doesn't want us to serve God. He wants us to worship him. And you see, apart from fear, I'm going to teach on this one of these days. One of the most dangerous and deadly weapons the enemy uses against us is distraction. We get distracted. Through being busy, we are busy. If you don't take time to feed your faith will be anemic. And the day will come when you need your faith to overcome, to be too late. Hear me. There's only one weapon that overcomes this world. Not money, not your age, not your experience, not political power, not access, not influence. There's only one thing that overcomes the world. Go to 1 John. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world.
What overcometh the world? Money?
No, sir.
Political power?
No, sir.
Experience?
No, sir.
Philosophy?
No, sir.
Logic?
No, sir.
What?
Faith.
What is it that overcomes the world?
Our faith.
What is it that overcomes the world?
Our faith.
And hear me. Faith feeds on the word. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So hear me. The fact that you've heard this word today doesn't mean you have faith. Because we have little faith, weak faith, shipwreck faith, great faith, steadfast faith. We have different types and kinds of faith. Your faith can become anemic. And one of these days, when trial and temptation knocks at your door, Tulaku Salin, Kadun Kasin, Wahasilindu Kamalayasa, you realize that your Rolex watches and your beautiful diamond rings, Salu Kasin, your diamond rings and your Louis Vuitton bags and dresses and shoes, when he knocks at your door, you're going to need more than Louis Vuitton. Mulaya Kasala. You need more than political power and connection and experience. So I pity those of you who are so busy, distracted all over the place. Don't spend time to build the faith and strengthen the weapon that overcomes the world. The day the prince of this world will knock at your door. It can be one of these days. We'll see. We'll see. I said, do you know how much money I have in the bank? He will laugh at you. He said, I control it. I control the world. I control all the banks. I control the systems of this world. I control them. The kingdoms, they are mine. He said, you know, I'm very connected. Connected to what? I control this world. The systems are mine. Do you know who I know? Who do you know? None of those things work. The only one thing, when he knocked at your door, that will be required is the knowledge of the word of God. And if you haven't taken time to feed your faith, the day he knocks at your door, you don't have anything to fight back with. Go back.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only shalt thou serve.
Same Deuteronomy 8, everything is there.
6:13.
Deuteronomy 6:13, look at Deuteronomy 6:13. Deuteronomy 6:13, quickly. Here is it.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by him, by his name alone.
That was it. He referred him again to what you and I call Old Testament. Jesus was not arguing with the devil at all. He just said, let me refer you to the instructions of the manual. And this is what the manual says. Next verse.
And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee.
The devil also knows the word. Hear me, Bishop. He also knows the word. Tell somebody, the devil also knows the word. That's why you have to study the word. There is a difference between reading and studying. You must study the word to know. You must understand pretext. You must understand protext to appreciate context of text. Other than that, the devil will fool you with the same word. So Jesus said, come on, you are quoting out of scripture. What you quoted is not for this season. It's not for the situation. Go ahead, look.
And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Again, Jesus said, hey, you are tempting me. You are tempting, don't mess with me. That tempted me, said, it is what? Written. Look at it. Go ahead.
At Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa.
Deuteronomy again. It was written. How come Jesus was making references to all these scriptures? Why? He had studied it, rehearsed the scriptures. He had studied and rehearsed it. So when the tempter came, he referred him to what he had taken time already to rehearse. If you don't know the scriptures, when trial comes, you will face it with your feelings, your emotions, and your emotion doesn't stand a chance. See, do you know how long I've been in action? I'm Papa's daughter, so what? I'm Papa's son, so what? He's not afraid of Papa or son or daughter. He's afraid of those who knows the word. When he went to tempt Jesus, you think, listen, Jesus was born out of a Virgin Mary. You, your mother, she was. I didn't say anything. You can't quote me. Silence cannot be quoted. So you can't quote me. I said Jesus was born out of me, out of a virgin. That's it. As for your mother, I don't know. If Satan tempted Jesus, who was born out of a virgin, you? Hear me? David said, my mother conceived me in iniquity. So that's all I'll say. Interpret the rest for yourself. Then number two, Jesus' blood or DNA didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. So if you took Jesus' blood, DNA, to any lab, even to linguistic laboratories, they can locate and identify the DNA of Jesus with any DNA on earth. That DNA came from heaven. That's why he said in John 14:30, I believe, that the prince of this world comes but don't have anything in me. There's nothing in me. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. He controls this world. He's the prince of the world. And Jesus said, he cometh, but he's checked my DNA. He's checked my DNA. There is nothing he has on me because my DNA didn't come from here. It didn't come from Adam. My DNA was the blood shed before the foundations of the earth. The lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. This was the blood that overcame when there was war in heaven. Revelation 12:11. This DNA of mine came from eternity to time. He has nothing on me. Tell somebody he has nothing on me. He has nothing on me. Amen. One of the fears also we deal with is two fears. The fear of the past and the fear of the future. So for the fear of the past, we want to deal with Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 and 26.
You have to deal with this. I'm he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake. And will not remember thy sin.
So God said, I will not remember. I don't remember. So if God does not remember, who is bringing up your past? The accuser. Say in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, I silence the voice of the accuser. Say, I shut the mouth of the accuser. Put your hands up. Pray that prayer. Silent. Shut the mouth of the accuser. Of the mouth of the past. I silence the voice of the past. Now, hear me. Say in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, I silence the voice of my past. I shut the mouth of my past. Put your hands up. Pray that prayer. Come on. Let the mouth of the past be shut. Let the voice of the past be silenced. In the name of Jesus. Silence. Amen. Now hear me. The enemy will always bring up your past. And God said, I don't remember. Look at verse 26.
Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together.
He said, put me in remembrance. Let's talk about it. Let's reason on this thing.
Declare thou that thou mayest be justified.
You see, God said, I need you to say it. Somebody say, say it. Say what? Declare what? God does not remember my past. So anyone that brings it up is an accuser. And let the accuser be silenced. Let the accuser be disadvantaged. Quickly, my time is up. Give me Romans 8:33.
Look who at Romans shall 8. Lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Somebody say who?
Who?
Say who?
Who?
Say who?
Who?
Say who?
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 Say who?
Who?
Shall lay a charge. Who is bringing up your past? Who is bringing up your errors? Your transgressions? Is nobody but the accuser.
It is God that justifies.
All these foolishness and lies going around just trying to come clean, come what clean. You are an accuser. You are Satan embodiment on earth. You are a weapon and a tool. Say any human being appointed and marked, engaged and deployed by the enemy to bring me down. Give me Psalm 62 verse 4. 62 verse 4. To sabotage my destiny and future. Let such a one. Let such a one.
The only consult to cast him down from his excellency.
You see, the only say any consultation going on anywhere. To bring me down. To sabotage my future. Say in the name of Jesus. Let it backfire. Put your hands together. Pray that prayer. Let it backfire. 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 Consultations. Demonic consultations. Projections. Devices. Wishes. Going on. To bring me down. Let it backfire. Upon the authority of scripture. Let it backfire. For it is written. I. Even I. I am he. Who blot out your errors. Iniquity. Transgressions. And I will not remember. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. I declare by scripture. I declare by scripture. O Lord God Almighty. That my transgressions and iniquity has been blotted out. And you will not remember them. Therefore let no man or woman bring a charge. Bring a charge to sabotage our future. The future of the people of this house. In the name of Jesus. Now. Now, give me Lamentation 3:37.
Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?
Say in the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet, I'm through. Say in the name of Jesus. Say on authority of the scriptures. Say any group of people, anyone that have said, that have declared, that they will sabotage my life and destiny. Future in this house and my house. Say whoever they are. In the name of Jesus. Let their words fall to the ground. Fall to the ground. Come on, put your hands up. Say something. Come on. Now, give me Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. And I've raised us up.
And I've raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So where are we seated? Say, by position, you are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I have a message I'm working on entitled, In Him. Somebody say, In Him. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our beings. In Him we have redemption. In Him. We are seated in Him. Say in Him. In Him. Amen. Yes, sir. Lift up your hands. Give me Ephesians 1. Give me Colossians 1:16.
For by Him were all things created.
By who?
By Him.
Say Him. Him. Who is the Him? The Word. Jesus is the Word. By Him. Look at it.
By Him were all things created that are in heaven.
What was created? All things. That's why you have to know the word and speak the word. Because the only thing the devil obeys is the word. Because he himself was created by the word. By him. By him. Go ahead.
Things in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Hear me. Tell somebody, stop scaring me. Stop intimidating me. Because all things, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, were all created by him and for him. And in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my beings. And I'm seated in him, in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. Come on, put your hands together. Say yes. Let's pray with this scripture before I make my altar call. Give me Psalm 60, Psalm 56, NLT. Psalm 56, NLT, from verse 5 to 7. Let's conclude with that quickly.
They are always twisting what I say.
They are always twisting. Let those who are twisting what I say, let their life be twisted. Lord, twist their lives, their glories and their honors. Remove their defenses from them. Take away their honor. Take away their glories. Hey! Akuta Luka Salam! Hear me? Go ahead.
They are always twisting what I say. Uh-huh. They spend their days plotting to harm me.
Say, they... anyone devising my head, whoever they are, in the name of Jesus, let them be disadvantaged. In the name of Jesus, let them be disadvantaged. Go ahead.
They come together to spy on me.
Say, familiar spirits. Say, every group of people using any technology, any element to spy on me, to waste me, to monitor my steps and my movements, devising my demise. Say, whoever they are, whatever they are working with, in the name of him in whom I live, move, and have my beings. In the name of Jesus, say whoever they are, let them disappear like smoke from the face of the earth. Put your hands together, pray that prayer. Let them disappear. Let them disappear. Let them disappear like smoke from the face of the earth. I command them by the power of Jesus' name. Disappear, disappear. Let them all together disappear. Now, okay. Finish it. Go ahead. Next point.
Watching my every step, eager to kill me.
Watching our steps,
eager to kill me.
Go ahead.
Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, oh God, bring them down.
Whoever they are, whatever they are, God, Father, in your anger, bring them down. Come on, put your hands together. Pray that prayer. In your anger, open your mouth. Put your hands together. Lord God, Almighty, in your anger, bring them down. Bring them down. Bring them down. Bring them down. In your anger, bring them down. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Oh God, arise. Let your enemies be scattered. Now, hear me. Hear me. Give me Psalm 35 verse 4. 35 verse 4. Let me finish with this.
Let them be confounded and put to shame.
Yes.
That seek after my soul.
Uh-huh.
Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that divides my head.
There are people seeking our lives. So if you don't know me, I'm telling you. People dividing our head. But whoever they are, let it be unto them according as it is written. Put your hands together, declare the word. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let them all together be confounded, put to shame, that seek after my life and the soul of me and my house, my children, my siblings. Yea, Let them be put to shame, confounded. And yea, let them be turned back, disadvantaged, brought to confusion. That divides our head and the head of this house and the head of me and my house. Amen.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.